You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiatakis. If you walk down Eagle Rock Boulevard, you'll notice a 100-year-old movie theater. In bright lettering, the words "Coming Soon" are splayed across one of the windows. But it's not advertising a movie, per se. A film hasn't been shown here in years.
We're taking this empty storefront and turning it into something that's essentially a micro-cinema and flexible event space.
Talking Cinema Shop is Maggie McKay, Executive Director of Vidiots. See, back when you had to go to physical stores to rent movies, Vidiots was the indie store that carried all those hard-to-find esoteric movies. Been known as an L.A. film institution in Santa Monica for three decades, until they closed just a few years ago. Well, now, McKay and the Vidiots founders and board of directors are giving new life to it, resurrecting the nonprofit video store and movie theater in a new location.
We can really use this space for the community and for people in the arts who need an affordable and an accessible space on the east side of Los Angeles, because that's pretty hard to find these days.
It is a rebirth of sorts for the foundation, just as society enters its own rebirth post-pandemic. KCRW's Angel Carreras tells us more.
Maggie McKay is ecstatic. Well, a measured ecstatic, if that's a thing.
We're making some pretty significant changes in here, and then we'll go into the theater, and here she is. She's beautiful. She's a very simple theater.
McKay is walking through the future home of Vidiots. Her eyes widen as she recites facts about the theater, wearing a smile almost permanently etched into her face. And in efforts of full disclosure, she's married to KCRW DJ Dan Wilcox. Okay, back to Vidiots.
We have this 50,000 title film and media library attached to a movie theater.
It's set to be a big art house theater next to a big video store. 11,000 square feet in total. There'll be the expected popcorn and candy, of course, and beer and wine, too. It'll be a place designed to keep you in like a movie nerd infinite loop. Just imagine it. You see a movie, you walk straight into the video store after that, and then you get a recommendation based on what you just saw, and vice versa.
Which just allows an audience member to go even deeper and to learn more and have more access to cinema and hopefully be inspired to keep coming to the movies and accessing things they don't already know about.
So it's not going to be an algorithm recommendation. Instead, it's by a person, kind of like a bespoke staff pick. And that personalization is a through line, something from the old institution that's being transplanted into the new iteration. And it was a must for one of its backers, comedian Paul Scheer. He was a Vidiots regular as he was coming up in L.A.
I went to the original Vidiots, like probably most people in L.A., as a pilgrimage, right? You have to go to this amazing video store. I didn't live on that side of town, so it would make no sense. I would basically never be able to return a tape, but I just went there to gawk. It was just a museum of film.
For the uninitiated, Vidiots was founded in 1985 by Patty Pollinger and Kathy Tauber. Their storefront in Pico Boulevard was only a few thousand square feet, but packed in tightly were aisles and aisles brimming with DVDs, Blu-rays, and VHS tapes. Everything ranging from Rainer Fassbinder to Cheryl Dunier.
I think what Vidiots was able to do that's so interesting, you can go from a section to another section, find something that you didn't even know existed, and it allows for that, like, sense of discovery. And in many ways, we're all Indiana Jones in there, you know, where we're like, oh, wait, and that leads to this. It's like there's a big puzzle that we get to walk through and see.
With Pollinger and Tauber's expert curation and programming and regularly hosted Q&As with filmmakers, a movie-loving community flourished in Santa Monica. Mary Rolick, film producer and Vidiots board chair, says she built friendships there, calling the women-run, women-founded Vidiots a safe space.
The idea of video store or cinema experience that has some of these toxic environments, for lack of a better way of saying it, really is something that you shouldn't have to think about when you want to go be entertained and find community.
Flash forward to the late 2010s, and a lot changed in L.A. Rent prices went up, traffic got way worse, and sheesh, consumer habits changed. Streaming and video on demand made it less attractive to spend an eternity on the tin to go rent a cult classic than it would be to spend a couple bucks watching, I don't know, the new Blockbuster at home. And all that impacted Vidiots' home base in Santa Monica. Here's co-founder Patty Pollinger.
I mean, traffic in that time, I mean, people literally drove from Santa Barbara sometimes to get something. And when it became impossible to drive east after 2 p.m., that definitely affected our business. I mean, our circle of people just got smaller and smaller.
Vidyots turned into a nonprofit to keep afloat, but it wasn't enough. So they closed the physical Santa Monica store in 2017. But McKay was undeterred. She knew there was still a big enough customer base to reopen, and after 2 years of planning, found a new affordable East LA location. Greg Meredith from the Eagle Rock Association says that soon-to-be theater will be meaningful to film nerds and non-film nerds alike.
Eagle Rock has been without an operating theater for at least 20 years, so it's exciting to have like an actual active movie theater back in our community.
In early 2020, they were raising funds to start renovations and planning to open their doors by the end of the year. Enter pandemic. But armed with her laptop and connections, McKay kept the Vidyots dream alive with online trivia, movie recs, fundraising, and building relationships with the Eagle Rock community. And by focusing on what people will want on the other side of a year in quarantine. Here's McKay last year at the beginning of the pandemic.
I do think people really need to sit in the dark with their friends and strangers and watch a flickering screen, and they need the human interaction that comes with a video store. And I think more than ever, we're going to crave that.
McKay plans to build on that. She wants to have screenings to platform up-and-coming filmmakers, film projection fellowships, and more to make it a social and educational space, too.
The longer this experience goes on, the more we're going to need these places. I have increasing concerns about what Los Angeles is going to look like after this. We don't want to get through this and look around and see that Los Angeles is a parking lot scattered with some grocery stores. We need art spaces. We're the capital of the film world, and we need to see that reflected in our neighborhoods again.
Vidyots, coming soon. They're slated to open early next year. For KCRW, I'm Angel Carreras.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. If you heard about a shot going over the fence at Dodger Stadium lately, it came from Moderna, not from Mookie Betts. Those COVID vaccines are still happening at the Ravine, by the way, but baseball there and fans will soon be back next week. In the meantime, on this opening day, the defending champ Boys in Blue are in Colorado playing the Rockies in Denver, while the Angels begin a four-game series at home in Anaheim against the Chicago White Sox. Now, with both L.A. and Orange County in the orange tier now, stadiums can be filled to about a third of their capacity. Matt Moreno is managing editor of the website Dodger Blue, and he's here to help us figure it all out. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm all right. And Jeff Fletcher covers the Angels for the OC Register, and he's with us too. Hey, Jeff.
How you doing?
All right. Matt, I'm going to start with you. Are you hearing from fans that they will go to Chavez Ravine, or are people still maybe a little shaky, a little nervous about going there?
I think there's a little bit of both, but there's definitely excitement, and at the very least for the home opener, obviously the team is expected to receive their World Series rings and have, you know, the pregame ceremony. They give preference first to season ticket holders to purchase opening day tickets. Then there was a limited amount made available through a lottery that we know fans were excited to enter and disappointed if they didn't get chosen.
So we're talking 15,000 to 20,000 people in the stands, right? That's how many tickets will be available.
So at 33%, and because, you know, of still needing to do the social distancing and how they're selling tickets in pods of 2, 4, 6, they'll approximately have, you know, about 18,000 at 33%, which with LA County in the orange tier now. However, the Dodgers haven't updated kind of their plans with that. Obviously, the county change just happened. The Dodgers do have some time. They're not going to be playing at Dodger Stadium until next week. But right now, you know, it's looking closer to like 11,000.
We should also report, Matt and Jeff, that the Mets-Nationals game in D.C. was actually supposed to happen. It's been postponed today for COVID reasons. So anything can happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we saw it last year that MLB was nearly through their bubble plan in Texas until, you know, Justin Turner unfortunately had a positive test come back in, you know, game six of the World Series. Dave Roberts addressed the topic before the Dodgers' first game. He said, you know, it's the situation with the Nationals is just a reminder that, you know, you have to be diligent and you have to be careful because things could change on a whim.
Jeff, Anaheim is celebrating, you know, 60 years for the Angels, right? I mean, they've been down there for a while. Remember the California Angels. Orange County's now also in the orange tier, just like L.A. County. What are you hearing from fans about going to games there at the Big A?
Well, I think it's the same. I think there's a lot of fans are excited to go to games after not having gone to any last year. And I know I was in spring training and there were a lot of people there, even though it looked like there were very few fans in the stadium percentage-wise compared to zero. It still seemed like a lot. So it was nice to see.
And what about capacity over there in Anaheim at the stadium? I mean, is it about the same?
I think it's less. I think Anaheim Stadium holds about 43, 45,000, something like that. It seems to change a lot. So a third of that would be, you know, 15, 14, something around there.
I mean, I want to talk about baseball, Matt, because, you know, the fact that we still have Dodger Stadium as a vaccination site, it started out as a testing site, then it turned into a vaccination site, and now we're playing baseball. How's that going to work?
Yeah, so the team hasn't provided complete details on their plans for that yet. I would imagine that it'll be similar to how they handled the transition of testing to vaccination site, where the testing was shifted to parking lots in the right outside Dodger Stadium, kind of in the surrounding area. Obviously, still operating not at a full capacity. The Dodgers do have some flexibility. You know, there are several parking lots in and around Dodger Stadium that they could still utilize while also having fans attend games. Obviously, if you look further down the line, if the capacity, you know, that's permitted increases, then that would become more challenging. But for now, I think they'll be able to kind of work a juggling act.
I do want to talk about baseball. The Dodgers come into this season, obviously, you know, World Series champs, and last year was an abbreviated season, 60 games. This year, they got to go a full 162. How are they going to do?
So for me personally, I mean, I see them still winning about 103 to 106 games. You know, the talent's obviously there. I don't think there's too much of a concern with a World Series hangover. Some of that is because of the circumstances that they won the World Series in last year. The team didn't get to have, you know, the parade through downtown and the celebration that comes with winning a title typically. And so a lot of them have, you know, discussed throughout spring training that there still is the motivation on top of wanting to win every year of wanting to kind of reap all the benefits that come with it. The Padres obviously are a great team. Dodgers and Padres are probably the two best teams in the National League. So those will be exciting games this year. But, you know, I just don't know if San Diego has enough to knock LA off their perch just yet.
Jeff, the Halos came in fourth. They were fourth in their division last year. You got Joe Maddon down there who came from the Cubs. No stranger, obviously, to Anaheim. But a disappointing season last year. Do they do have some high hopes, though, for this year, don't they?
They have high hopes every year. You know, they haven't won, but they have tried. That they haven't been like tanking like some other teams. It just hasn't worked. And they're trying again. They feel like they increased the depth of their pitching staff a lot. And their lineup has always been pretty good. And they feel like their defense is going to be pretty good. You know, they're going to need to find sort of surprisingly good performances from some guys who haven't had really good track records or really good recent track records. And, you know, if that happens, they certainly could go to the playoffs. Their division is not great. There are some good players that were lost from the division, so they feel like they have a good chance.
You got Mike Trout, you got Otani, right? So you've got some good names. Maybe people a little nervous about those names too.
Well, they got Anthony Rendon, too. And between Trout and Rendon, those are two of the top 10 players in all of baseball. And Shohei Ohtani is probably the most interesting, most potentially exciting player in baseball because he pitches and hits. And he showed signs in spring training that he might be able to finally do both of those things at a high level again, which would be nobody's done in 100 years.
I know pitching has been an issue for the Angels, too. What about their bullpen? You think there's some reason to be encouraged this year?
Well, I'm a believer that nobody really knows how good their bullpen is going to be until the season gets going. No matter how good or bad you were last year, no matter how good or bad the names you have are, bullpens are just so erratic. They just added a couple guys in the last few days, Steve Cishek and Tony Watson. So they do feel like they're going to have a better bullpen.
And the Dodgers, Matt, obviously, they have a pretty solid bullpen as well. You got, you know, Clayton Kershaw, you got Buehler, you got, you know, so many others. And Kenley Jansen, who's a good, well, he's a nervous closer for all of us, right?
Yeah, their bullpen this year is going to look unconventional. You know, they first of all, David Price kind of volunteered himself to shift into that role. So he's now, if you include Jimmy Nelson and Tony Gonsolin, that's three starters who the Dodgers are going to be relying on out of the bullpen. Some of the logjam to begin the year was alleviated with Joe Kelly and Bruce Dar-Gratterol because of injuries. They're not ready. They weren't on the opening day roster. So it will be interesting to see kind of how the Dodgers handle their pitching staff and specifically the bullpen throughout the year. Kenley Jansen, you know, I'm a believer that he's not as bad as I think a lot of fans kind of paint him out to be. He's definitely not at the elite level he was a few years ago. I think he's somewhere in between. He's serviceable. He should be good enough to get you through the regular season and, you know, come the playoffs if the Dodgers, assuming they make it and make another deep run. It'll be similar to last year, I think, where it's a little bit of mix and match and kind of just riding the hot hand.
Matt Moreno, managing editor of the website Dodger Blue. Jeff Fletcher, who covers the Angels for the OC Register. Thanks to you both. Happy baseball.
Thanks a lot.
Yep, thank you.
It's Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The pandemic continues, of course, but things are looking better, at least for now. LA and some neighboring counties are starting to open up slowly and hopefully safely. And if you're fully vaccinated, perhaps you're getting to do things you haven't allowed yourself to do in quite some time. So what's changed now that you do have your shots? We're bringing you an occasional series called I'm Vaccinated. We've profiled a grandmother getting to snuggle with her grandkids for the first time in a year. Also a daughter getting to spend time with her mom. Those were nice stories. Today, a father and daughter head out on their first road trip since the pandemic began.
My name is Joel Rodriguez.
My name is Brooklyn Garcia.
And we are from...
We are from Ridgecrest, and we are going on a trip.
Yay, make sure you get your seatbelt on, please. Okay, so before we go, let's see, do we have our clothes packed?
Check.
We got our, got some masks?
Check.
Right, hand sanitizer?
Check.
Thus begins our trip to San Diego to go to the zoo.
I wanted to get the vaccination mostly for my daughter. I mean, as much as I don't want to get sick, you know, I need to stay as healthy as I can for her. We come from Ridgecrest, and in 2019, we got hit by a couple real big earthquakes out there. And when the big earthquake hit, when the 7.1 hit, I actually wasn't in town. I was working at my job in Trona. And that was really scary for me because we didn't know if the road had gone out in between Trona and Ridgecrest. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to get home to her. So after that happened, I've been making conscious efforts to do everything I can to try and stay as healthy as I can for her.
All right, so we've made it down here.
We made it down to California.
We're already in California. We never left California. Now we're in San Diego, remember?
We're in San Diego. We made it. We're just in our apartment.
Well, we got a hotel.
A hotel.
So anyways, what is it that you're excited to do while we're out here?
I'm excited to go to the zoo, visit my uncle, go to the drive-in. And Dad, what are you excited about?
Well, I guess I'm excited for all the same stuff, too.
Yeah, because that's all the stuff we're going to be doing for the past, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, we'll go to the zoo.
Yeah, we'll meet you at the zoo.
Hello, how are you? Fine, thank you. I remember the first time we went to the zoo, you wanted to see a bear and a cactus.
A cactus?
Yeah, you really wanted to see a cactus for some reason. I don't know why, because we got them in the front yard. And then when we got there, you saw a bunch of squirrels running around the trees, and you didn't want to leave. You just wanted to watch the squirrels.
Let's go over there.
All right, let's go.
I think they're going to peck me on the arm.
I don't think they let the flamingos peck people's arms. What do you think of them?
I think they're cute.
Aww.
Look, there's little ducks, too.
Oh, look at the little ducklings over there.
Mm-hmm. Look what that one's doing. I saw monkeys. Look at this one. Monkey. He's licking the branch.
So, what have you seen here so far that you like?
Giraffes. And zebras.
Okay, so it's the day after the zoo trip, and how did you feel about going to the zoo?
It was nice.
I had a good time. I thought we saw a lot of cool stuff.
Uh-huh.
All right, now we're going to go head back to Ridgecrest here.
No! No!
Yep, vacation's over.
Our San Diego trip was a blast. I don't think we could have picked a more perfect weekend to go down there. The weather was beautiful, and it brought out a lot of the crowds and brought out a lot of the animals, I think. It was a bit overwhelming being out there with all the people again, but I think I can attribute that to just not having to deal with crowds for a year, so I'm a little bit out of practice. But all in all, we had a great time, and I really look forward to doing more of these daddy-daughter road trips like we used to once more things start opening up, more people start getting vaccinated. It seems like we're going in the right direction, and I hope we continue to go that way.
That was Joel Rodriguez and his daughter Brooklyn Garcia talking about their trip to the San Diego Zoo now that Joel is fully vaccinated. Thanks to them for capturing those moments. Thanks to producer Catherine Barnes for putting them together and John Meek for mixing that piece. So here's a question. Are you vaccinated? Has it opened your world in new ways, like visiting the zoo or maybe your family or doing things that you haven't done in a year or more? Let us know. Tweet at KCRW, and remember to use the hashtag Greater LA. That's at KCRW, hashtag Greater LA. Well, finally today, before you leave us, a follow-up to a story we brought you a couple of weeks ago. The vaccination rate in Hawaiian Gardens, the smallest city in LA County, has been lagging behind other cities. Well, KCRW reporter Kaylee Wells did a story about it recently, and this morning, the county opened up a pop-up vaccination site in Hawaiian Gardens. One of the first people there to get in line was Sandra Romero.
For me, actually, because I don't have family around here, I was freaking out. I just stayed home because I didn't want to be around anybody. And, you know, you get cabin fever. People get cabin fever, even if you are a senior and you're used to being at home.
Now, the pop-up is happening through Sunday at New Hope Community Church.
This is the church I go to. But I hadn't been to the church since all this started. I watch it through the Facebook.
Vanessa Garcia was also there today, happy to finally have a vaccination site closer to home.
Everything was like 30, 40 minutes away, and it's hard to get like an appointment at CVS and stuff.
Garcia was there with her father.
And since my dad's a Spanish speaker, you know, I was going to leave him by himself, but I'm like, I have time to also do it myself. So I'm like here to help him. But that's great for most people. They feel scared to ask for help since, you know, nobody's going to understand them.
Anastasia Drabinski is one of the nurses at the pop-up, putting shots in the arms of people from Hawaiian Gardens.
So I'm really happy to be here. This is like why I started nursing in the beginning, was to help underprivileged communities and be able to give them access to health care. To maybe some people are illegal, like everybody should have access to health care. So I'm happy that we're able to come here today.
It's just a few voices from today's pop-up vaccination site in Hawaiian Gardens. And again, they'll be there through Sunday. That'll do it for us this evening. Next week, episodes on the culture clash in Wonder Valley with Angelinos moving to the desert, and how to scream on a roller coaster without really screaming. By the way, be very quiet on Colossus. That roller coaster at Magic Mountain? Yeah, you're going to have to do that really well. Join us online at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Scream all you want. Find every episode there of GLA. Get the show fresh to your feed. And while you're there, tell us how you're doing. kcrw.com/greaterLA. Catherine Barnes, Rebecca Mooney, Jenna Cagle, Sonia Geis, Kat Yore, Phil Richards, John Meek, Amy Ta, Mario Saavedra, Lorenzo Ponce de Leon, and Christian Bordall all made the show happen this evening. Thanks for your ears. I'm Steve Chidnikas. Have a great night.